You know, these old tractors, oh man, wouldn't it be beautiful to get them painted up? And man, oh, no. But you know, Kurt Krieger, he'd tell you a story. He found this old engine sitting in the weeds. Been sitting in the weeds for years and years and years and years. Hadn't run for 50 years. And he has his eye on this engine from this old boat, fishing boat. And make a long story, he buys this engine off an old, sitting out in the weeds, in the woods, for years and years and years and years. Well, you know what? He took the thing completely apart, restored it to brand new. He'll tell you the story. He'll show you the pictures. You know, he didn't buy that old engine to let it sit in his garage and take up space. He had a plan. And you know, God has a plan for you and I. That's why He saves us. He's got a plan. Now let's see what His plan is. It says it right there. Verse 8. Who shall confirm you unto the end? I like that word confirm. The word confirm means that your feet are solid. In other words, you're not tripping over, you're not going backwards. Your feet are planted and you're going forward. Planted on the ground. Planted on the ground for God. And he says, planted on the ground for God, why? That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is God's plan. That your life and my life, that when we stand before God, that old rust bucket will be beautiful. That's God's plan. All the imperfections fixed up. All the rot replaced with purity. All the defilement with that which is holy and glorious. God has a plan. Oh, don't trivialize salvation. Oh, he's saved. He's saved. Oh, what? What do you mean? God has a plan. Anything less than that plan is not God's will. What is God's plan? It says it. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a couple of verses. I'm going to just kind of show you that is exactly what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish, now establish your hearts, not up and down, but established your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Oh, here's the plan. God has a plan. The end, they may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Oh, that doesn't matter. Get saved. Live a half-hearted Christian life. Live half like the world. half like the Lord. That doesn't matter. You just say that's all counts. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? No, that's not what the Bible says. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now the word sanctify, you know that word. It's the word that we get holiness from. And it is a positive and a negative word. Sanctify means to be set apart from that which defiles. And it means to be set apart, dedicated, and usable for God's exclusive use. It says sanctify you wholly. Not partly. Well, when I die, I'll serve God a little bit. Sanctify you wholly. Complete. Set apart from evil. And set apart to serve God completely. You know, when you get old, it's not time to start drawing back. You know, I know it's, when you get old, boy, it gets tougher. You don't have the energy. You don't have the ability. But the flesh needs to be conquered. As you get old, you don't say, oh, I just take it. No! Opposite. But it says sanctify you wholly. I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. What does it say? Blameless. Your whole soul, your whole spirit, your whole body be preserved blameless. Wow. God's got a plan. You got a plan for your body. That it be preserved blameless, holy. Our spirit, our soul. God has a plan. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And see that, hey, this is exactly what the Bible's been saying all along. Chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Why did Christ die for us? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with water, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow. Why did he save us? Well, so we can be still that rust bucket when we're dead, when we're almost ready to go in the grave. So we can be still that Charlie Brown tree that was worthless. Oh, we're saved, Charlie Brown tree, it's okay. No. He had a plan. He's got a plan. So at the end of our life, we're blameless. Blameless. That's why he saved us. So he might do a work in our life. Take that Charlie Brown tree, make it a beautiful tree. Take that rust bucket, make it a classic beauty. That is a plan. I mean, if we can have a plan, us sinners, for material things, how much more does the heavenly God of heaven have a plan for us sinners, souls for whom Christ died? Has a plan. Now, it kind of dawned on me. Oh, boy, this is, you could almost see it here. You know, this isn't rocket scientist stuff. But it dawned on me. Oh, that's why we got the Bible. That's why we got the Bible. Now put it in context, 1 Corinthians 1. Here's the introduction to the book of 1 Corinthians. That ye may be, verse 8, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to do a little quick review of the book of 1 Corinthians. Why is 1 Corinthians written? That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there's a lot of rust bucket stuff here. It needs to be fixed up. And we're going to deal with it right in this book. We're going to get these problems fixed up. So that when you meet the Lord Jesus, you're blameless. That's what it's saying. Now I think about it. Well, 1 Corinthians is a great... 15 is a great resurrection chapter. Yeah, part of being blameless is having the right doctrine. Part of being blameless is having the right doctrine. That's in the book, isn't it? It's right there. Part of being blameless is believing and acting on the resurrection. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, excuse me, I got the wrong verse, but it says that we should be, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the conclusion to the resurrection chapter. You're carnal. There's division and strife among you. You're acting like men. You're not acting like saved people. You just got to get fixed up. You can't die carnal, living like carnal Christians. That's not the right way to die. That's what the book's about. Yep. Got this problem, 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 this problem. And I'm writing this book so all these problems get fixed up. So when you die, you're going to be blameless. That's God's plan. I have a question for you. Is that how you read your Bible? Is that how you read your Bible? You know, a lot of Christians just read their Bible like it's a magic formula. You know, little dab do ya. I'm spiritual now. I read 3 verses today. In fact, I can remember the first verse. That's it. But I'm spiritual now. Read my Bible. No, missed the point. Why write the book? Change. These are some problems that got to change. Because I chose you, Mr. Charlie Brown Tree, so I could make you into a beautiful tree. I chose you, not because you're good, not because you're great, but you're nothing. That's why I chose you. That's why I saved you. Left to yourself, you destroy your life. And you were, many of us. But I saved you to make you glorious and holy before a holy God. And so when you meet Him, you will be blameless and all the glory will be given to Jesus Christ. You know, it just rubs against the tide of what's going on in Christianity today, isn't it? Just putting in our time, playing games, not serious about changing, not serious about obeying the Bible. Ha! Who cares? No big deal, I'm saved. I live the way I want. Really? No, that's not why God saved us. That's not why God saved us. It says it right there. That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a shocker. That's a shocker. Blameless. Well, that means there's quite a few changes better be taking place. You know, I wish I could honestly say that's really the heart of Christianity today. Become blameless. I don't see it. I see when you see that happen once in a while, it's almost like it's so rare you're going to have a heart attack out of joy. That's God's plan. Now see that, you see it? Ephesians said the same thing. Why was the Bible given? Ephesians chapter 5, we were just there. It says, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here's the difference. Without God, we'll be like Solomon. How'd Solomon end his life, folks? How many would have voted that it was glorious? No, it wasn't glorious, was it? Foreign wives took away his heart, and he built temples to Moloch, to Chemosh. That means he sacrificed his own children in worship of Moloch. Think that's God's plan? Think that's God's plan? No, that's not God's plan. But here's a man who had everything going for him. But he put God out of the picture. And he ruined his life. Now the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians, look at these glorious things. What it says there. These are glorious. He says in chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a glorious word. Sanctified. You people, you Corinthians, you've been called out of the world. You've been chosen specially by God. God in heaven has called you. He's pulled you out of the world. And he has set you apart for himself. You're his people. Oh, you're sanctified. He says to them who are called saints. Whoa. Saints? Yeah, saints. The perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to your account. You're a saint. I tell you what, that's pretty glorious, isn't it? Take a rotten sinner and make him a saint? I mean, I think that's beyond my comprehension. I mean, it's pretty glorious. Look at these great things. And he says, verse 5, in everything ye are enriched by him. You can have all these riches. You have the Holy Spirit. You have gifts of the Spirit. You have supernatural ability to serve God, to worship him, to build his church, to get the gospel out. You've been enriched by God. Yeah, you are a bunch of sinners. You're a bunch of sinners. Oh, you are great sinners in the world. He said, but I've enriched you with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts from God. You've been enriched. What a glorious beginning. And he says, all through your life there's something going to happen. It says, verse 8, who shall confirm you unto the end? He will confirm your steps unto the end. I'm sorry, folks, there's a lot of what they... My Bible says he confirmed them unto the end. It didn't say saved for a few months and lived for God and then gone. It didn't say saved for a couple years and then lived in the world and then gone. It said confirmed unto the end. Oh, you mean I'm saved until I'm 18 and then I can live my own life and go my own way? Oh, really? Oh, really? My Bible says confirmed unto the end. That you may be blameless. God has a plan for your life and mine. It's an amazing thing. God has this plan, but it requires a divine and human cooperation. It requires a divine and human cooperation. God is working. God equips us. God saves us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. But there's a human cooperation. Paul's writing this book to the Corinthians. A whole book. What's the expectation? The expectation is they're going to read this book and they're going to respond. Isn't that the expectation? Isn't that what Jesus said? John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Huh. You've been saved, born again, you know God, you know His Word is true, it's living, it's powerful. There's something within you, that new birth. Oh, yes, the Word of God. Obedience. Obedience. Okay. Now, you Corinthians, you're living for yourselves. You're not living for the spread of the gospel. And someone swindles you out of $5 and so you're going to go to the court. And the judge is going to say, hey, I thought this Christianity was real. Must not be. You guys can't even solve your own problems. You talk about being born again? That this is real? No, must not be. To be blameless, you have to learn how to deny your rights for the cause of God. As a church member, you put aside your rights because there's a greater cause that we're living for, and that's the spread of the gospel. Amen? You know what it's called? It's called growing up. You know that? It's called growing up. You know what I mean? Hey, didn't you see that piece of paper, you know, in the yard? I didn't put it there. Didn't you hear your kids say that? I didn't put it there. Hey, didn't you see that light on? I didn't turn it on. Grow up. Amen. Grow up. Doesn't matter that you didn't put the piece of paper there. It needs to be picked up. Doesn't matter that you didn't turn the light on. Oh man, there'd be every light on in the world if parents didn't have to turn them off. Grow up! That's what he's saying. Amen? You know, we got a childish problem in Christianity. I'm living for myself. I'm just like a little kid. I'm just like a little kid. I don't care. I'm living for me. I'm not living for the church. I'm not living for God. You know, that's part of being blameless. I mean, it'd be pretty bad if an adult, at the end of their life, you know, they're in the nursing home, and, you know, there's 15 tin cans, I guess aluminum cans, in the hallway. You know? They're all, you know, litter everywhere. Hey, I didn't put the tin can down there. I'm not picking it up. Boy, I'd be pretty sad to have a nursing home full of people that never grew up. But we had churches full of people who never grew up. Blameless. Now, I'm not going to preach the whole book of 1 Corinthians, but I want to challenge you. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. You have a series of problems that Paul is correcting. You have a series of questions that he is answering. And he gives the insight to it all. He basically says, all of these things need to be changed in order to be able to stand before Jesus Christ and be blameless. They all got to be changed. God has a plan. Has a plan. Take that Charlie Brown tree, that worthless tree, make it a beautiful specimen. That's why he saved us. It's not right to be content to be a Charlie Brown tree the rest of your life. It's not right. It's not right. Say, oh, I'm saved. I can be a rust bucket the rest of my life. No, that's not why God saved you. He saved us so that in the day of Jesus Christ, we would be blameless. Got some growing to do, don't we? We got some growing to do. You know what? Here's the question. If you and I that are saved, if we died tonight, what would God say? What would God say? The Bible says we will give, every one of us give account of himself to God. You know, there's some young people here in this church. You stand before God. And he'd say, you know what? You're going in the wrong direction. You used to be a lot more godly than you are now. What's wrong? What's wrong? This is the opposite of God's plan. You're not in God's plan, you're in the world's plan. You'd be a lot more concerned about obeying the Bible used to be than you are now. Now you're trying to make excuse for disobeying the Bible. What's wrong? There's something vitally wrong. We need to realize what is God's plan. That when we stand before him, that we would be blameless. That he might sanctify you wholly with spirit and soul and body. This is called a refocus. This is called get back to the basics. This is called get back to the real truth of what Christianity is all about. And I realize we live in a confusing day. But the Bible isn't confusing. Amen? Bible's not confusing at all. All. Bible is all full of accounts. Abide in him. That when he appears, you will not be ashamed. Bible says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And all that we have done will be tested, so as by fire. You know, I think it's a whole lot more. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, they're saved. Really? Now, God has a different view. That you may be blameless at His appearing. That you may be blameless. And it could be today. It could be today. So I hope as we think about this, this is a good theology lesson. Oh, I'm saved. That's all counts. I'm saved. That's pretty far away from God's plan. That's pretty far away from God's plan. Oh, wow. Day's coming closer. Yep. Some of you catching up to me. I'm 66. Man, goes by fast. You know what? I better be concerned about the day that I stand before Jesus. I better be concerned about the day before I stand before Jesus. Because His plan is that I be blameless. Young person, you better be concerned about God's plan for your life. And that plan is that when you stand before Him, you will be blameless. And you know what? I don't think it's something that you can put in gear just when you die. I mean, we have a big illustration of that with Mrs. Gilmore. What does it mean to be blameless? Here's somebody lived their whole life for Jesus Christ. A whole life for Jesus Christ. That's a part of what it means to be blameless. Amen. These are sobering truths. But I fear we needed to get our vision adjusted as to what God's real plan is for our life. Let's pray. Lord, thank You today for the Word of God. So simple, Lord. So profound. This one little truth. So revealing as to what Your plan is versus what man's plan is nowadays. And Lord, we can easily get off track. We can easily just get caught up in the religion of the day, and even ignore or forget, Lord, this plain, clear teaching of the Bible. Lord, forgive us. for losing sight of the truth. Now, Lord, we're asking you to bring it together. Lord, you got to do the rest. There has to be a divine and human cooperation for your will to be fulfilled. And I pray that there would be that human cooperation today. For those who have for somehow just completely ignored or gotten off track with your whole plan, that we'd be found blameless before you at your coming. And Lord, most of us know there's a lot of work you have to do yet. There's no time for us to be standing on the sidelines thinking that we're fine. And I pray that God, that we'll get a renewed vision of what it means and your plan, that we be found before you blameless, Lord. And so now, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit apply the truth to lives. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.